The fourth reading of Psalm 22, verses 1 through 2 and 22 through 24 from the Message. God, God, my God, why did you dump me so miles from nowhere, doubled up with pain? I called God all day long, no answer, nothing. I keep it up at night, tossing and turning. Verses 22 through 24. Here's the story I'll tell my friends when they come to worship and punctuate it with hallelujahs. Shout hallelujah. You God worshipers, you give glory, you sons of Jacob. Adore him, you daughters of Israel. He has never let you down. Never looked the other way when you were being kicked around. All of the Psalms are prayers. They're not like the rest of the Bible. The rest of the Bible, we have Proverbs, we have begats, where there's long lists of people, we have instructions, we have rules, all of these other things that help us. But in the Psalms, we hear prayers. The prayer that we read tonight is the same person, David, who did the prayer, the 23rd Psalm, the one we're very familiar with. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed on the cross. Why hast thou forsaken me? And yet there's so much more to that. I personally believe that when Jesus said this, he was telling those people around him that there's more to what he's going to do. You hear him as he goes on, David goes on in the 22nd Psalm and talks about the joy in his life. I think this is the example of prayer. As I listened to all of the songs that we sang tonight, I could see in each one a prayer, a request. One of the things that C.S. Lewis likes to talk about quite a bit is prayer. He talks about it in a book called Letters to Malcolm. And in that he says, prayers should lay before God what is in us, not what we want to be in us. And I think that's what David does in this psalm. He starts out with where he's at. He is forsaken. And then as he prays through the 22nd Psalm, he goes on. And he begins to see the answer, and I believe the prayer is the goal in this instance. So often we pray for things, we have requests, or we have thank you, but sometimes I think the real goal of prayer is for us to get through something. The goal is for us to get out what's inside of us. Now, when I pray, I stumble. I forget to pray. In fact, when I started tonight, I forgot to pray for the opening. Prayer is, for me, a humbling experience. I have fallen asleep when I was praying. I have, my mind just went blank right there. I will be in the middle of a prayer and I'll think, okay, did I pray that? Whatever. And I think prayer is the only communication that I have where I really don't have to worry about what's heard. When I stumble, things like that, God knows what's in my heart. In other communications I have, I've been married 51 years. If Nancy says, does this make me look old? I don't say a word. And, oh, I'm dropping everything. And even when I gave that example here, I was hesitant because the prime use of that example is, does this make me look fat? I wasn't going to go there at all. So I worry about the perceptions of the people that I am communicating with. When I pray to God, I don't worry about the perception because He knows. So we've seen that prayers aren't just the requests, just the thank yous. They're the unloading, the giving of what is inside of me. And the stumbling is part of that. Let me tell you a very brief story about the stumbles that I make in prayer. We had a Royal Family Kids Camp training session. In that training session, we were drawn names out of a hat, and we were going to pray for this person. So I drew a name, and I got Joyce Gruss. And I didn't know who Joyce was. And so I asked someone, and they pointed her out to me. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to pray for her. And I prayed for Joyce. And then at church one Sunday, I happened to be next to George, Joyce's husband. And I greeted him, and then I said, George, tell your wife I'm praying for her. Well, this was another stumble. Can you imagine walking up to someone and telling them, I'm praying for your wife, without any context or out anything, you know? And George was very gracious. He just looked at me and said, oh, okay. But we kind of worked that out, because when I got to camp, it turned out that George was in charge of the cabin that I was assigned to. George and I ate all of our meals together. We slept in the same room. And most challenging, we tried to help control the four boys that were in the cabin. There were five adults and four boys. We were outnumbered, yes. And I got to know George in a very sincere, touching way. He's one of the nicest, kindest men that I have ever worked with. So I found two people of the family, and then I met a third one. Dustin, George and Joyce's son. And that was right here where he was in the seat of power. And he did a very fascinating talk on how he saved a man's life because he was a personal trainer. Started with prayer for Joyce, then I met George, then I met their son, Dustin. And it wasn't too much longer after that that I met Leanne. Leanne's the head of the Sunday school. Every Sunday morning when the children come in, Leanne is the one that leads them. And when she comes in with all of those kids, she is gleaming. There's like a glow about her because she's doing what she really feels is God's work, and it is such an amazing thing to me. Now, I talked about stumbling, etc. I stumbled through all of those relationships, just like I think David stumbled when he started this prayer, as far as, why hast thou forsaken me? And then come up to the 22nd verse where he talks about how he's going to talk to everybody about how wonderful these things are. Stumbling in prayer, I don't think, hurts us. It gets us to a place. It makes us a better person. Through my stumble with those prayers, I got to know an important part of my church family and built on that to other relationships. We have a phrase in our culture, I stumbled on this really good book. I stumbled on this really excellent restaurant. And I think we begin to realize that stumbling is not a hazard. Stumbling is part of life. And stumbling through prayer is not a difficult aspect. It's what we can go on with. As we pray, in my opinion, there are no rules for prayer. If David can pray the 23rd Psalm and the 22nd Psalm, we realize that being honest with God is what's going to help us grow. Now, some people say that you can't pray for sports, for athletes or things like that. I don't think God really cares who wins the Super Bowl. I kind of wish he cared if the Cavaliers won some games, but they can't seem to, so that's okay. But I still think if you want to pray for a sports team, do it. There's nothing wrong with it because it's where you're at. Prayer helps you get through life. It doesn't help the Cavaliers or whoever wins a specific game. The whole purpose of prayer is what David demonstrates in the 22nd Psalm, getting through it. My parents started me in church when I was 5 years old, approximately. 70 years ago, that's 75, yes. And I have been in church all of that time, and I have used prayers extensively. There was a brief period that I really didn't go to church, and that was when I was in Vietnam. But I'll be very honest with you, I prayed there more than I did in any other church or any other place. There were a lot of prayers when I was there. And the prayers helped me get through. To paraphrase another C.S. Lewis quote, "Help me to be the real me when I pray." And I'm still trying to do that. I am trying to be the real me in my prayers. Thank you.
As Christians, we're called to pray, knowing and trusting that God hears us, that God hears our prayers, that God hears our stumblings, that God is at work. When Jesus came and lived among us, he spent much time in prayer with his Heavenly Father. He taught the disciples how to pray. And on that night, before he was arrested, before he was crucified, before he prayed that psalm on the cross, he gathered around the table with his disciples, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when the supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he shared it with his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this. This is the blood of the new covenant, and it's poured out for each and every one of you for forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray together. Holy God, we ask that you might pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Lord, we ask that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, Lord, we ask that you make us one with each other and one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in the United Methodist Church, we practice an open table of communion. That means we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We'll receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and asked to lightly dip it into the cup and then receive both elements at the same time. I invite Ted up to help me serve, and then you all are invited to come as you feel led.
Shall we pray for closing? Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. Help us, and thy will be done in our church and lives. Amen.